Wow, thank you, Gail and Bud. I wish you would not stop talking. My goodness, you're making me cry just to hear of the ministry and the blessing of the Spirit here in Lactobani. Back in January, I phoned Pastor James. Shirley and I take the month of January to pray for our supporting churches and the pastors in Manitoba. And I called Pastor James, and we were just chatting, and I was asking him how to pray. And he started to unpack this idea he had for Mother's Day. And I went, that is good. You're already planned to celebrate this. But I love a good celebration. And it's so nice to be able to be here with my wife and my mother to celebrate with you on this very special May 13th, a day dedicated to women and especially to mothers. In a little bit, my wife is going to be sharing from the Word, and what she has to share, I wish I would have thought of. And I think my dad would have liked to preach that too. You know, he was a man of the Word, as you heard, and he used to teach a lot of great things. And one of the things I learned from my dad concerning women was, in the book of Genesis, it says that it took God how many days to create the earth? Six, right? And then he rested. But after that rest, Adam, I guess, said to him something like, it's not good for me to be alone. And so God caused Adam to fall into a big sleep and took from Adam's side a woman from the rib, and Adam saw her. And since that day, both God and man have never rested. Is that right? I think I learned that from my dad. I think that's, isn't that there somewhere? The reality is, we want to honor every great-grandmother, grandmother, mother. And as we listen to that poem, all of the different distinctions of how we come to this day, I've always loved the fact that it says in Genesis 1 that I will give them dominion. And I will honor them. It's plural. It's both man and woman. And God wants you, ladies, to know just how fruitful you are in every way of life. And from the very beginning, God's heart has been equal towards you. And he loves you very much. So whether you come with a little bit of sting today or you come with great celebration, I want you to know God says, I honor you, I give you dominion, you'll be fruitful. And I'm not going to get into what my wife is going to talk about, so let me move to just making a very brief missions report. Pastor James said I could have a few minutes, and Shirley said I could have a few minutes, so let me take them and talk to you about missions. And up on the screen, you're going to see a number, 3.1 billion. How long would it take you to count to that number? If you counted one number every second without breaks, nonstop, it would take you 98.3 years. According to the Joshua Project, that is a number that represents the people without access to the gospel because there's either no church or the church is so small it's almost non-existent. There are places all over our world where you could shake hands with 100,000 people and not shake hands with one believer. But God loves all 3.1 billion. In fact, he knows them by name. And he sent his son to die for them. And this is what propels Shirley in my heart and the heart of this church, is that people would come to know Jesus Christ. That's why bridging China and Africa. Did you know that in the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada, we're now coming into 100 years of existence? So if we do a little record check, in this 100 years, we have sent 3,000 missionaries. We have planted 50,000 churches. Today, worshiping in churches that we have brought people to. There are 12 million people around the world worshiping Jesus Christ because of the work of churches like Lac de Bonnie and others. Plus, we are feeding the hungry, we're caring for orphans, and we're providing education. I see your mission board at the back, and I say to you, thank you for everything you are doing to make a difference. But in the next 5 years, the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada wants to send people like Shirley and I and 100 others to go to try to reach the 3.1 billion that still need Jesus. So next slide, you'll see we want to start in the next 5 years as a fellowship, 100 new points of light that will make a difference. Next slide. Last time I was here, I asked you to read the bottom, and it says, bridging China and Africa, reaching Chinese people living in Africa. Now in excess of 2 million Chinese workers in Africa who are not immigrants, but workers who are there on a special 3-year work visa. They are employed by Chinese companies, often the government itself, while they work in China. Let me tell you just one story of one of those workers. I'm going to change his name for obvious reasons. His name, we'll call him today, Mr. Ho. And he learned of the opportunity to go to Africa and make 4 or 5 times the money he would make in China doing the same job. So he applied and he was accepted, and he could hardly wait for the adventure. When he got off the plane and came to the place he was going to live, he discovered he was not being placed in a home, but rather, or a rental house, but rather in a large compound with 1,500 other men, a walled compound with steel gates at the front. And as he lived with these men, he discovered that they were alone and isolated and fearful, and many of them were bored. Most of them, like him, didn't understand English very well, and he discovered the Africans were not particularly glad to see him. And so in the first month, he joined his friends, and he went gambling, and he lost everything he made. He was drunk more than he was sober, and he discovered an African girl that he started to have ideas towards. Then one day, he met Zhu. Zhu is our missionary. He's from China. He comes from the family church. And Zhu was on his compound teaching English as a second language. And Ho wanted to learn a little bit more so he could survive in the country. And so Ho was invited by Zhu to come and be part of the cultural center. And he said, I can't go. And Zhu said, why? He said, well, because the Chinese forbid me to become a member of a church. He said, we're not a church. We're a cultural center. Come, eat our noodles, drink our tea, learn English as a second language, have a barbecue, play soccer with the Zambian people. You're not going to become a member of a church. You are going to come to a cultural center. And Ho thought, that's okay. And while coming and eating and drinking tea and playing soccer with Zambians, he came to know Jesus Christ and was discipled, and now is back in a part of China as a firm believer planting a church in the mainland. Now, is that a great story? Isn't that exciting when you hear 3 churches working together? We have the church in China. Next slide. This is a picture. Next slide, three churches working together, coming to this cultural center, making a difference so that people can know Jesus Christ. Next slide. So if you'll continue to pray for us, the challenge is incredible. We are now needing to find another missionary for Zambia. We need to find another missionary for Kenya. So we're now moving towards our second cultural center. Our prayer is for 20 cultural centers all across Africa, wherever there's a large population of Chinese. So you prayed for us. You are making that difference. And I just come to say thank you so much. The second thing we do is called Commissioning a Lifestyle of Integrity. If you can go to that slide, please. All across Africa, there is this pandemic of corruption. That's in massive proportions. Next slide, please. And so we used to teach seminars. Like most church leaders, we would go and would help people to learn how to grow teams, working together, how to raise funds, growing givers, not just gifts, how to lead the church to do the will of God, not just be administratively savvy. And we'd do these seminars, but we'd always include something on character and integrity. And the African people came to us and said, can you help us? That's the seminar we want. And so we started to train African people at their invitation how to become men and women, boys and girls of integrity. Can I tell you just two stories? Next, from this, thank you, by the way, for praying. Last time I was here, there were only 5 countries on that map. Now we are in 7, because the need is so great and the demand is so real. We really need to find more people who can begin to become part of our missionary staff so that we can reach into Africa with the message of integrity, and only Jesus is the source for that. And we're actually discovering that though many business people come to this who do not know Jesus, by the end of the training, they find Jesus because he is the source of integrity. We never thought it an evangelistic tool, but it's becoming that. So we're in 7 countries. Let me tell you 2 quick stories. In Sierra Leone, which is the flag of that's green, white, and blue, the Minister of Highways has asked us to train all of the police in integrity. Now, some of you have been to Mexico. You understand how not every policeman is a person of integrity. Well, it's that way in Africa, too. And so bribes are so common. Last summit, we had 840-plus policemen in uniform learning how to be government officials of integrity in Sierra Leone. Can anyone say praise the Lord? Down here over in Zambia, the green one with, we have Zoo is her name, Aunt Zoo, and she is the retired principal of a school who is now training teachers. And this month, Zoo and 12 teachers are going to the Minister of Education for all of Zambia and saying, we have tried and proven commissioning a lifestyle of integrity as a way to develop people of integrity amongst the children and teens of Zambia. Will you, as a government, endorse this and make it part of the educational system? So we thank God for that. Next slide. Next slide, please. Next slide. I'm trying to give my wife as much time as I can. This is our manual, and we just have a miracle to tell you about. Maybe you will feel God tap you on the shoulder this morning and be part of it. Someone has come to us. We need 7,000 manuals this year to be printed to meet the demand. And someone said, we will provide the first $15,000 for manuals. For every dollar you raise up to $15,000, we will match it. So if you'd like your dollar to become $2 as we go towards buying 7,000 manuals, just let Pastor James and the church know. And we would be so thrilled to have you produce people of integrity. This I can tell you, every manual produces a person of integrity because of our strategy. Okay, 2 more things. Am I okay, Shirley, take all this time from you? I'm just having fun. These are nice people. You're going to like this. This is a little tea box. I brought it back from Beijing a couple of months ago, and inside is tea. This, some of you will say, that kind of looks like something else, but we're not going to talk about that. It's tea. Now, I need to just tell you for a moment that, and I don't want to insult mothers on Mother's Day or grandmothers, but most of you don't know how to make tea. Okay, now we're over that. Most of you pour boiling water on tea. You do never, never, never put boiling water on tea leaves. It scalds them or burns them and causes the tea not to infuse properly into the water. So you always cool your tea. Anyone from England knows that, or China. So what you do with this, if you wish, is you take it and you put it in a pot. It's loose tea, so you can either have an infuser or just leave it loose, and it will expand like crazy. The first pot is dusty. The Chinese don't even drink it, but you would find it not bad. Because, well, let's leave that alone. You could pour it out or drink it. The second pot, same leaves, is okay. The third pot is getting good. The fourth pot is wonderful, and the fifth pot is out of this world, and you can, depending on the size of your pot and the size of your cups, it's about a four cup pot we're talking about, you can get six from one bag, six pots of tea. So we just make this available as kind of a fun reminder of how to make tea and how to pray for the Pipkeys. And so there's a bridge on here that reminds you of the bridge, China and Africa. And listen, if you want to just take one, you can, if you pray for us. We suggest $20 just to cover costs and all that. And if you want to give us some money, that's wonderful. We're about you praying for us. We're not here to make money today. We're here to just build prayer support and get done what needs to get done. So I think we brought about eight of these, and if you would like one, that's the end of the commercial before the preacher comes. Okay, so just put that there. And lastly, if you'd like our newsletter or prayer briefing, it's available at the back, and we'd just be honored if you'd remember Shirley and I in prayer. Listen, this is a Manitoba thing, BCA, CLI. And you standing with us makes it happen. So thank you. Lactobani, this is a missionary church, and you're making a difference around the world. And so we thank you. I say this without any exaggeration. I've always looked forward to Mother's Day in the churches I pastored because about 90% of the time, my wife or my wife and staff would share on Mother's Day. And again, she would unpack something that left me filled and touched. And I know, Shirley, God's given you something. You shared part of that with me, and I'm excited to turn the mic to you. Lactobani, the better preacher of all of us, is coming right now, my wife.
Hello, everyone. I don't really think I hold a candle to Bill's dad, so we're not going to even go there with that, but that's okay. The first thing I want to say is I noticed most of the men were wearing life jackets this morning, so I kind of wondered, I thought that was kind of interesting that maybe they're going to have their hands full with doing what the women do every week and don't blink. It's really lovely to be here with you again today. We were here not so very long ago, and as Bill's mom's friends alluded, that we were here many times when we were living in Brandon, and we would come for Christmas Eve. I almost said New Year's Eve. People ask me right now what I'm doing after 39 years of being in the pastorate, and then we moved back home to Manitoba, and I don't travel with Bill right now, not every time for sure. And I asked God what he wanted me to do. Am I okay? I asked him what he wanted me to do in this time of my life because it was a really big change to go from shutting the lights off every week and making sure everything was happening and doing all the stuff you do to not having that anymore. So I asked him what it was he wanted me to do, and especially moving home. And what I felt he said to me was, I want you to be an extra pair of helping, loving hands. We don't have children of our own. I had 19 kids through my house at different stages of the game, but we don't have children of our own. But I do have 13 great people, I call them, that are within about 20 minutes of where we live, and those are my nieces and nephews' children. And I'm enjoying so much being that extra pair of loving, helping hands with these kids. My favorite story right now is Barrett, who's 5, said to me the other day, "Auntie Shirley, are you a kid or a teenager?" So I'm living on that right now. So, and my mom is turning 90 this year, and I have the privilege with my sister in just helping her do some of the things that just are a little more difficult to do now. And Bill's mom is in the community with us as well. So I'm kind of the driver when people need to get where they're going and some of those things that just kind of help out. So that's what I'm doing right now. And I'm having a wonderful time doing it. It's a really, really good time in my life. I also wanted to say again, I really liked the poem you read this morning. And we did not have children of our own, but like I said, I had 19 kids through the house. Most of them were teenagers. And this morning, there was word from Indonesia. We had 3 kids from Indonesia live with us for a span of about 9 years. And they are back there ministering now. They're from Indonesia, came to get their education. And I would just say this from my mother's heart for them. They live in Surabaya. I don't know if you heard this morning, but 3 bombs went off in churches in Surabaya this morning, killed about 11 people. It was not in the churches that they minister in, but it is certainly in the city that they live in. So if you see it on the news, would you just pray for my kids that are over there in Indonesia, just that God will give them wisdom. They're now mid-30s, and they're pastoring there, but just in a very large church, and that they would just have protection and wisdom as to how to go forward in a new day in Indonesia. So there, that's that part. So I was told and asked, I guess asked, that I was going to speak here this morning, and the first thing that came to my mind was Proverbs 31, and I thought, nope, don't want to do that, Lord. I really don't want to do that. So I spent some time looking in some other directions and trying to find a different thing, and wouldn't you know it, it just came back to Proverbs 31. So ladies, I would like you to collectively groan with me right now that we're going to hear from Proverbs 31 again. 1, 2, 3... Yeah, I know. This is one of the most intimidating women that you ever want to come across, is this Proverbs 31 woman. But I read an article by a woman named Adrienne Segal, and it has totally encouraged me and helped me to look at this proverb in a different way. And I'm hoping that that together we can shake off the guilt trip and we can find something different to go away with this morning that will encourage us and change us and help us to go on in our life. So I have entitled this The Guilt-Free Proverbs 31 Woman. So I hope that that's what happens by the time we're done, that we can throw off some of that and go in. But I'm going to read it just so that we can start off guilty and go on. So anyways, so we're looking at Proverbs 31, and we all know we're starting at verse 10, and we're going to end at verse 31. So here we go. And men, I know you're kind of thinking, maybe I can just go to sleep because this is kind of the Proverbs 31 thing. Just to say to you, I think there's something for both sides in this. I think that what the women are being encouraged to do, that you can flip it over into a man's world too. So no sleeping. And I will come out and pinch you. So just, okay, so verse 10. Who can find a virtuous and capable wife? She is more precious than rubies. Her husband can trust her, and she will greatly enrich his life. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She finds wool and flax and busily spins it. She is like a merchant ship bringing her food from afar. She gets up before dawn to prepare breakfast for her household and plan the day's work for her servant girls. She goes to inspect a field and buys it. With her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She is energetic and strong, a hard worker. She makes sure her dealings are profitable and her lamp burns late into the night. Her hands are busy spinning thread, her fingers twisting fiber. She extends a helping hand to the poor and opens her arms to the needy. She has no fear of winter for her household, for everyone has warm clothes. She makes her own bedspreads. She dresses in fine linen and purple gowns. Her husband is well known at the city gates where he sits with the other civic leaders. She makes belted linen garments and sashes to sell to the merchants. She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. When she speaks, her words are wise, and she gives instructions with kindness. She carefully watches everything in her household and suffers nothing from laziness. Her children stand and bless her. Her husband praises her. There are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty does not last, but a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. Reward her for all she has done. Let her deeds publicly declare her praise. I told you she was intimidating. None of us have all of these amazing talents. I don't know anybody. I know morning people, I know evening people, I know afternoon people, but I don't know anybody that can go from like 4:30 in the morning all the way till 3:15 at night, p.m., a.m. I don't know anybody who can do that. She is really intimidating. Lots of coffee, someone says. That's all, lots. But anyways, you know what? I don't believe that God wants us to feel guilty about gifts that we don't have and we were never given. I don't think that's what he does. So what is this all about? Why do we have this about this woman? What's it all about? What's going on? Like, we just feel guilty because we can't do it all. Jason DeRoshi is an Old Testament scholar, and he tells us that the Bible translates all of these verbs in the present tense, which we know, speaking English, that it is in fact in the present tense. And he said it actually should be in the past tense, which would make it a little easier on us because it would be her lifetime. It wouldn't be like every day, all day, every week, all month. That makes it a little bit easier, and I like that. That makes me feel a lot better. But you know what? No matter how we translate the verbs, no whether it's present, past, in between, doesn't matter. What we have to look at is not what she's doing. We need to look at the woman behind the woman and what drives her. Not what she does, not what she accomplishes, but who she is and what drives her. We need to go to the very end of the proverb, read it, and then come back. The one thing that guides her is found in verse 30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord is to be praised. A woman who fears the Lord. This woman feared the Lord. It tells us why this woman should be praised. She feared the Lord. What does Proverbs tell us the fear of the Lord is? Pardon? Wisdom. It's the beginning of wisdom. It tells us that in Proverbs 1, verse 7, verse 29, Proverbs 2, verse 5, Proverbs 9, verse 10, Proverbs 15, verse 38. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Why is this woman to be praised? Because she fears the Lord. She's not shaking in terror that if I don't do all of these things, somehow I'm not going to measure up. She's to be praised because of the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of all wisdom. It puts a whole different twist on everything that she did. She wanted to honor the Lord with her whole life in everything she did. Quite honestly, if I wrote down everything most of you do in a day, especially if you have small children, it probably is not that far off from this. You know, like, I mean, but we don't think that. We don't think about that. But quite honestly, there's lots of things. If we wrote it down, it would be different stuff, but it would be similar. But she wanted to honor the Lord in everything she did. What God is trying to tell us in Proverbs 31 is not to pack a whole lot more guilt on our shoulders. He's trying to free us up to be who we are and to do what he's called us to do. So in honoring him and honoring him the way she did with her heart and with her life, we then become the Proverbs 31 woman. So let's take a little closer look at this. In Proverbs 31, 10 to 12, we'll just go back. Who can find a virtuous and capable wife? She's more precious than rubies. Her husband can trust her, and she will greatly enrich his life. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. Let's translate that into our language and say she was trustworthy. Trustworthy. It wasn't what she did, it's who she was. She was trustworthy. A woman who fears the Lord wants to love and honor her husband, even when he doesn't pick up his socks and he's driving you crazy. Even when there's things that, and I know there's stuff, the flip side too, that we do that would drive our husbands crazy. But even in those times, we will honor him and treat him well. He can trust her. He can tell her stuff and know that it's not going to go all through the community. When she speaks to other people, she speaks highly of him. She honors and loves him the way that God would have her honor and love him. She keeps her word to him. I mean, we all get behind a train or things like that, and you don't get there right on time, but she keeps her word to him. He knows he can trust her. He can trust her with his money. He can trust her with his love. He can trust her with his home. He can trust her with his children. He can trust her. He knows he can give her his heart, and he can trust her. She is trustworthy. We don't have to have any special gifts to be trustworthy. We don't have to be able to make bedspreads. That really freaks me out. But we don't have to be able to do that, you know, to be trustworthy. We don't have to be able to do anything except be trustworthy. So what do? We ask God. God, I look to you for my wisdom, and I ask you to make me that trustworthy Proverbs 31 woman. Let me be trustworthy. We simply need to value our husbands in a way that honors them and honors the Lord. I'm not going to go verse by verse. You'll be happy to hear that. But I just want to go, I'm picking out things now from verse 13 all the way to 31. The second thing this woman is she is hard working. There is no question about that when you read this, that even if this is over the course of her life, she was hard working. But it's not what she does. It's what drives her that we need to be looking at. It's not what she does. It's not everything she accomplishes, because I babysit my little nieces and nephews too. And when they come, I accomplish nothing except spending time with them, which is an accomplishment. But I mean, like, it's not at the end of the day, you can go ching, 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 ching. I made bedspreads. Like, it's not all of those things. It's that you're hardworking. That whatever God has given you to do, you are hardworking at it. Right now, what God has given me to do is to help my nieces and my nephews with their kids. And I do that. Like, I phone them. I don't let them phone me. I mean, they do phone me, but I mean, to get extra help. But I phone them. And I let them know there's, you know, I've got time. When do you want me to take the kids so you can go and do something else? Like, you be hardworking about it, right? You be proactive in what you're doing. If it's being a grandma, if it's being a mom, if it's working for a lawyer, if you are the lawyer, maybe you're the doctor, whatever it is you're doing, you're hardworking at it. And the point is that we're willing to work hard at what God has given us or has called us to do. The point is not how much, not how many things. Are you willing to work hard at what God has given you to do? There are some really good things that she does not do and a few really good things that she does do. She doesn't compare herself to other people. I think that that is one of the hardest things. I don't know about the rest of you in the room, but for me, that's one of the hardest things, is not to compare myself to everybody else in the world who's doing all the things, or how they look, or how they dress, or what I think I should be doing, or, oh my goodness, I didn't really accomplish that much, and now I'm 61, and rats, I missed it. Like, you know, it's all those kinds of things that we compare ourselves, even to maybe siblings or whatever, we compare ourselves constantly. She didn't do that. She didn't have time for that. That is a good thing that she doesn't do. And the other thing is, she is not obsessed with me time. Now, please hear me when I say this. I am not talking about getting rest and having some time to yourself. We all need that. Me first. I like to be by myself. I like to have some time when I'm alone. Not talking about that. But I am talking about the obsession that has come upon our land, where we have this me time, and it must be hours of the week that I have my me time, you know, like all of the stuff, and it often includes a lot of money, a lot of time, and they become really obsessed with it. It may not be something here, but in some of the places, in some places it really is a big deal. They're not obsessed with that, or hearing about you need that. If you watch a talk show, they're talking about that, talking about it, talking about it. And sometimes we get so obsessed with it, we waste the good time we do have to get things done. So she's not obsessed with that. And she does fill her time with productive, helpful activity. And no matter where you are, like when you've got your kids, you are doing helpful activity all the time. That's just what's happening. But you know what? Like, as I got a little bit older, especially in our last place in Chatham, and I didn't have any little kids to really, I didn't have any grandchildren, I didn't have anything. So I made cookies for other people's kids. I'd check it out with the grandma, find out if it was okay. Like, I did, you know, you try to find other things to be helpful. Maybe there's a senior's home and you can go and read to somebody else's mother because your mother's not here anymore. You know, she found helpful, productive things to do. And she is concerned about helping her family and her friends and the community around her. We don't need any special gifts to do a lot of these things. We just need to be willing to work hard at what we've been called to do. And with God's help, we can all work hard and resist wasting time and bring a gracious, loving spirit to what we do. I think resist wasting time. It's really easy to waste time. I find it can be really easy just to get caught up in something and kind of just waste my time and then realize, oh, now it's night. And I'm not a night person, so I have to go to bed now. But anyways, she was strong. And to be strong, now I'm almost going to reverse what I said about the me time. But to be strong, we have to be wise. We have to eat well. We have to try and get our rest. There are times that that's not you're not able to. Your baby's up all night. It's really hard to get rest and those kinds of things. But she looked after herself. She was moving. She was eating. She might not have been going to the gym every day, but she was looking after herself so that she could be strong. And she is afraid of nothing and laughs at the future, knowing God will look after what she cannot control. I'm going to read that part again. She laughs at the future, knowing God will look after what she cannot control. She does her part. She does what he's asked her to do, But the stuff that she can't control, she doesn't worry about that. She knows that God's in control. That's a hard one. That's a really hard one. To laugh at the future. Because you know you can't control it anyway, so why spend all the time? That's one I find a little bit difficult. But she doesn't worry about what, again, others think. And she doesn't worry about what she cannot control. She does her part to live, working hard, and to love in such a way that again honors God. So again, she's going back. She's going back to that fearing God, the beginning of wisdom. She's kind and she's caring. Oh, listen, there they are again. Feel free to clap. I'm okay. She's kind and caring. We can all, with God's help, work to have kind dealings with the people God places in our lives. And that is something right there. The people that God places in our lives. You have different people placed in your life than the people placed in my life. And if they were supposed to be placed in my life, I'd be where they are, and you'd be where my people are. So the people who are placed in your life, not worrying about the people that you kind of wish were placed in your life, but the people who are placed in your life, you can be kind and caring to the people placed in your life. Sometimes it takes a little bit of discipline to be kind and caring to the people placed in our lives, but we can do it. Right? Like sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes it's not easy, but we can make that choice to be kind and caring and to be that light, if you want to call it, that comes into the room whenever we're at something. Because why? Because we're kind and caring. How you treat me, well, you know what? You take that one up with God, and he will. But, you know, you can be kind and caring. It doesn't take a special gift to be kind and caring. It doesn't take a special gift to be any of these things. It just takes placing our trust in God and wanting to honor him. And all of us can make a point of helping other people. We can all help other people. This is why I didn't care if Bill took too long. I'm not lengthy. I'm not a lengthy speaker. So the things that she's actually doing are really not that hard. They're not, it's not how busy you are. It's who you are and where you get your strength from. Who's leading you on in what you're doing? We're all here, not just wasting air. There's a purpose. There's a purpose. And you're placed here with a purpose. Find the purpose. Ask God. He'll tell you. He'll tell you. He'll tell you exactly what you're doing and what you're supposed to be doing and how you're supposed to be living your life and maybe a few things you need to cut out so you've got time to do what you do need to do. But he will tell you. We see that this guilt-free Proverbs 31 woman is not something impossible for us to do. It's possible for each one of us to do these things, to be trustworthy, to be kind, to be loving, to help out other people, to be that little ray of sunshine when you come in, not a phony ray of sunshine, but a real ray of sunshine coming into the room. We can all do it. Her heart, mind, and body are strengthened by her devotion to the Lord for her family and those God has entrusted to her. Her heart, mind, and body are strengthened by her devotion to the Lord for her family and those God has entrusted to her. So this morning I would like to do something. Just for a minute or two, not too long. And if this speaks to you, then please close your eyes and enter in and ask the Lord to be there. If it doesn't, just close your eyes until I'm finished, and that's okay. I'm trying to say you don't have to enter into something you're not comfortable to enter into. I would like to sing a song to you. And it's not because I'm an amazing singer or anything like that, but I would like to sing this song to you. And I'd like to give you a moment just to shut your eyes and think a little bit about your life. I'm going to sing it through twice, and then I'm going to pray, and that's that. It's not, I'm not going to be long in what I'm doing. But I'd like us to no longer be intimidated by this. I'd like us no longer as women being intimidated by the woman who is the lawyer or the woman who's the great mother. What has God called you to do? What has he called you to do? It's got nothing to do with comparing with anybody else. It's what has he called you to do? What's he asking of you? And then getting the power from him to do it. So I'm just going to ask you to just close your eyes for a minute or two and just sort of shut yourself in with the Lord, if you're comfortable with that. And think about it a little bit. So Lord, I offer my life to you. Everything I've been through, use it for your glory. Lord, I offer my days to you, lifting my praise to you as a living sacrifice. Lord, I offer you my life. Lord, I offer my life to you. Everything I've been through, use it for your glory. Lord, I offer my days to you, lifting my praise to you as a living sacrifice. Lord, I offer you my life. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we are grateful for this passage of scripture that often has intimidated us. But now as we see that you are trying to speak to us, not just to make us busy, but to find what it is you want and to do it with our whole hearts. That it doesn't take any special gift. We don't have to compare ourselves to anyone else. We need to do what you've called us to do. So I pray for every person in this room, and especially the women. I pray, Lord, that you will use them, that you will speak to them, that they will find great joy in the things that you have given them to do. That, Lord, they will sense that they are more than special in your eyes. That they have something that nobody else can do to do on this earth. I pray, Jesus, that you would empower us to do the things that you have called us to do, and that as we draw close to you, that we will sense your wisdom, we will sense your power, your strength to be all of the things that you want us to be. So, Father, I pray your blessing, your rich blessing on this place, on these people. Thank you, Jesus, for an opportunity to be together. In your precious name, amen.